The book of Deuteronomy, if you would, in chapter number 7, I want this morning to draw our attention to a verse number 17. It's something that we all have and maybe have in common, and that is a choice that we make to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord and to do what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. But sometimes we have excuses why we cannot do certain things that God puts in on our hearts to do as we follow Him. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, if we all would stand, if you're willing and able. And I want to read verse number 17, verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptation which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Verse 21, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, mighty God, and terrible. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we consider your word and consider the generation that was previous to this generation that Moses is speaking to, help us today consider this attitude of the heart for many causes us not to do exactly what you want us to do. And Father, help us to examine our heart today through your word. And may we be, as James instructs us, to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. So, Father, help us to be sensitive to you and help us to respond to you in obedience. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. 38 years ago, from this time of, in the time of Israel's history, God had asked and gave them the opportunity to enter into the promised land. 12 spies were sent out, and they came back with a report. In that report, 10 says, oh, we can't. There's giants in the land. We're as such as grasshoppers. And they gave a negative report. Previous to that report, Israel had not made up their mind on whether they could go in or not. But when they heard the report, fear fell on their hearts. And they did not obey God's word. 2 of those spies came back and says, yes, we can, and God is great, and God will give us a victory, and we can overcome, and we can conquer, and we can possess the land that God has given us. And yet, the people's heart was turned because of fear. This morning, I want to address an area of our hearts that sometimes, not spoken, not necessarily conveyed in words but in our heart. For it's in the heart that God looks upon. And it was in the hearts of the people that fear was brought, and they disobeyed God. This morning I want to look at this passage of Scripture and just remind us once again that God sees our heart, and it's not just the actions that we do, but it's a heart and the attitude of our heart that either allows us to allows us to do what God wants us to do, or we disobey God. The heart. You know, Jesus or God told and instructed Moses in chapter number 6 as the Israelites, their generation has passed away. Now this new generation is coming to the point where God has said, all right, now you will be able to go into the promised land and you'll be able to conquer it. But once again, and through the words of Moses, God is directing Moses to challenge the children of Israel. And he tells him in verse number 5, hear, O Israel, verse number 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse number 5, I want you to look at, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And you're to teach them, verse number 7, shall teach them diligently unto your children. and shalt talk of them, and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. To love the Lord thy God with all our hearts. Our heart. Man, that is a major theme throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. It is something that God wants. He wants our heart. Not necessarily the actions in which we do, but He is looking at the heart. Do we love Him with our heart? And our heart attitude will display or will portray the actions that are in our heart. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is a first and great commandment, and the second is like unto, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The heart. It's not this muscle that pumps the blood that gives us life, but it's our emotions, our will, our desires. It is that which seeks after God or what disobeys God. Our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus makes this statement to the children, to the children of Israel and to the leaders of the Pharisees. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart. Proverbs 23, verse number 7, for as a man thinketh, so is he. Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek after the Lord. The heart. Israel now is standing at the gate of this promised land. And God is saying, now you're ready to go in. Now remember some things. Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your mothers who have said in their heart, we can't go in. Who has put in their heart fear that caused them to disobey what God has told them to do. He says, now in your heart, don't be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Fear is a terrible thing. If it's not, fear is a good thing that brings caution and help us to consider and think about our actions. But fear in many times, in my situation and maybe in your situation, fear limits us from doing what God wants us to do. Fear keeps us from going places that we would not go. Fear, oh, I hear many times, oh, I could never go to Papua New Guinea. Man, that's a scary place. All those bugs and all those spiders and all those snakes. And I could never go there. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. So is my wife. But one thing about bugs, they're nocturnal. And so a lot of them are. And so we're in the house at night. And the bugs are outside. And that's all right. That's the way she likes it. And we have Mortine also to take care of those who feel that they need to come inside. But fear. What is it that God wants you to do, but in your heart, not outwardly, you're saying, man, I could never do that. I could never teach a Sunday school class. I could never go out and knock on a door and invite somebody to church. I could never fear. We limit God and we limit God's power and we never see God's potential in our lives because we say in our hearts, I can't do that. I'm afraid. We see some things about fear in that we fear failure. Oh, what if I fail? What if I start out and what if I don't make it? Or what if I fall down? Or what if I don't succeed? What if? Don't worry about the what ifs. Do what God wants you to do. But many times we allow fear to say, man, and we never get started with anything. Fear. A fear of the future. Oh, man, I don't know if I'll be able to continue on. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know about my parents. I don't know about health situations. Or listen, we can't control the future. But we allow certain things about the future and our finances and our situations that we base our now, today on, and we don't do what God wants us to do. Sometimes we fear our family. What will Dad think? What will Mom think? What will my friends think? What will... And we fear our families. And we don't do what God wants us to do. Fear. God wants us to not have a spirit of fear, but He wants us to have a spirit of faith and trust in Him in all manners of our lives. Fear. Fear causes us to make decisions that are contrary to God's Word. Fear causes us to disobey God and not do what God wants us to do. Fear stifles growth and prohibits victory in our lives and limits one's quality of life. Fear. Fear makes one timid and non-productive. Fear makes one regret and causes disappointment. Fear makes one causes one to miss out on God-given opportunities. Fear. And we'll never see God's miracles happen in our lives, and we don't see God moving and working in our lives and God's blessing in our lives because of fear. Fear. You know, it's one thing. There are individuals who hear God's Word, and there's individuals who say, man, I've heard that message before. I've heard the gospel message, how that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and loves us so much that all He asks of us is to believe on Him and to trust Him for our salvation. And He'll forgive us of our sins. He'll take us to heaven. Well, why don't you accept Christ as your personal Savior? And in their hearts, there's a fear. In New Guinea, we had a lady who attended our church. She wasn't saved. She was invited to come, and she came one Sunday and went back to her house, and her husband beat her for coming to church. She came the following Sunday, and about a month later, she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. Fear did not keep her from coming and hearing God's Word. But there are many people in Papua New Guinea, because of the priest or because of a pastor or because of family members, they are fearful to follow God's Word. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him, and it's not through a system of works. It's not through a religious activities that we do. It's through a personal relationship with Him by believing and trusting and accepting His gift of eternal life. Have you done it? But what's keeping you? Why don't you give in to Christ? And why don't you accept His gift of salvation? If we think about it, and if you're honest, maybe it's fear. What will my parents say? Well, I have my church. What will your pastor say? Well, I have my friends. What will they say? And many people will not come to know Christ as their personal Savior and see a change in their lives because of fear. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8, and I want you to read this with me and consider the thought here. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. It starts off, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Listen, when a person dies, he just doesn't die and end up in the grave and that's it. There's two destinations, heaven or hell. And notice this, the order here. Now, if I was writing it, if I was thinking about this, I would put unbelieving first. Because if a person does not believe, this is his destiny. But that's not the order. It says the fearful and then the unbelieving. Can I make this assumption that many people do not believe because of fear? Their fear keeps them from believing and doing what God wants them to do of receiving His gift of salvation. Fear. Fear. Don't let fear this morning keep you from accepting Christ, and don't let fear keep you and and take you to this place called hell. Fear. The children of Israel, their first generation of Israel, they had the opportunity to go into the promised land, but fear filled their hearts and they did not go in. And they wandered and suffered great, I don't want to say persecution, but they suffered greatly because of their decision of not going in and following God's word. Fear. Fear. How do you overcome? And go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And I want you to look at two things that helps us to not be fearful. Number one, it says, remember, verse number 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Number one, I want you to understand that helps us to do what God wants us to do and not to be fearful is that remember. Remember what? Remember what God, remember God's word, remember His promises. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you always. I will give you the strength to be able to accomplish the things that I have called you to do. Remember God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Remember God's word. When God calls, He enables. When God wants you to participate, He will give you the grace and He will give you the strength to be able to do what He wants you to do. Remember God's word. His promises are as true today as they were to the people of Israel. His words today are as true and are evident in our lives when we submit to Him. And He will give us a strength, and He has promised us, I can do all things through Christ. When God allows us and gives us the opportunity to serve, He gives us His strength and the ability, and He gives us the wherewithal to be able to do what He wants us to do. What is it that keeps us from doing that? Many times it's fear. Fear keeps us. Why is it that people, they have good talent, they have a good voice, and yet they don't sing in the choir? Why is it that God has gifted an individual with the ability to teach and yet sit in a pew and don't use that ability for His glory? Why is it that God asks us to give and to participate in the offerings of the church, and yet we don't do that? Well, I may be short. I may not have enough money to be able to do. Fear. But we need to always remember God's word. When He pricks your heart, and when He moves you to do something for somebody, or in the ministry of this church, or to do something beyond that we're comfortable with, remember His word. Remember His promises. Remember Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus, looking unto them, saith, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But remember God's works. Not only remember God's word and His promises, but remember His works. Remember, and He brings up, and Moses rehearses the things that God had did and brings to mind, verse number 19, the great temptations which thy eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Remember what God has done. You, Israel, you were wandering in the wilderness. You saw God's provision. You saw God's power. And you think about that power and the miracles that took place in your wanderings. Now, this same God is giving you an opportunity to go into the promised land, and you go in remembering that God is before you and that He is a God who works miracles and that He will do the impossible for you. Remember what He did in the past, and in our Christian lives, we need to be reminded how God brought you out of that illness, how God provided for that financial need, how God opened the door of opportunity for you to witness. We need to be reminded of the past, of what God has done for us. Because when God gives us an opportunity to do new ministry, we may be afraid, but we're going to remember, man, last year, God provided for me. I gave to missions. I gave my 10% to the church. I gave to offerings. I gave to the building fund. And I remember last year, God provided for me. And this year, He's going to do the same thing. I remember that trial that I went through, the difficulties that I faced last year, and how that God did the impossible and brought people into my life and changed people's hearts. And I saw what God had done. I know God will do the same for me today. Listen, I want to share with you my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a deacon in the church, but My dad was a dairyman, and I grew up on the dairy and milk cows, and I was shy, I was backwards. In fact, I was so backwards that when somebody went to shake my hand, I just started pulling their fingers. I didn't know what else to do. But I grew up with very being timid and didn't like confrontation. And in high school, speech was required. I don't know if you had to have speech, but man, that was, I could have took it the class any time during my high school years, but I waited till my senior year. And in my senior year, I signed up for the class because you have to have it in order to graduate. And when it was my time to give a speech, I skipped class. Finally, Mrs. Stevenson, our teacher, she says, "Gary, if you do not give a speech, you're not going to graduate." I said, "Ma'am, I cannot. I'll faint up there. I can't do that." She says, "You give a 10-minute speech, and I'll pass you." I stood up there that day and gave a speech that was supposed to be 10 minutes that lasted 1 minute 30 seconds. I left that room saying, "I will never give another speech again." It was a missions conference when I was 17 years old. I was sitting in church. A missionary from Korea was speaking, and he said, just talking about surrendering your life to God, just giving, asking God, "God, what do you want me to do? Not what this is my plan and this is what I want to do, but seriously ask God, God, what do you want me to do?" I had my plans. I wanted to go to college, get an ag degree, help my father with the dairy and expand the dairy. And I had my dreams. Buy more land, and God began to work in my life. He said, "Gary, I want you in ministry." I didn't tell anybody. I fought with that. I said, "God, you've got to be, I don't understand. Why pick on me? There's other people who are more talented than I am. There's other people who have better gifts and abilities that would do far greater things than what I could do. I can't even give a speech." He says, "I know. That's why I want you, so that you don't stand up and say, 'Look what I did.' I stand before you not because I'm a great missionary. I stand before you because there's a great God who wants to use you, who wants to take your life and change your life." I went and told my pastor, finally. I said, "Pastor, I believe God wants me in ministry." And this is what he said, "Gary, you'll never make it." He knew me. He knew my abilities or lack of. But when people say, "Nah, you're not able to do anything. Who are you?" And then you begin to think, my wife, she came in on a bus. She rode the bus and got saved through the bus ministry. We met at Bible school, and her thoughts was, "God, I'm a bus kid. My parents aren't saved. Who am I? Could you use somebody like me? I didn't grow up in church." And God began to work in her life. She went to Bible school. We met, prepared for the work that we're doing now. I stand before you not because I'm a great individual, but I serve a great God who can give you the confidence and who can change your life, who can do the impossible with you. But one of the things, we say, "Man, I could never do that. Man, I'm afraid." I remember the first time I preached, it was supposed to be 30 minutes, it lasted 10 minutes. The worst message, well, probably not the worst message, I preached some pretty bad messages. But man, my legs were shaking, my hands were trembling, my mouth was just, the words were very difficult to come out of my mouth. 25 years later, starting our seventh church, God is doing some great things. And you've been a part of that through your giving and through your prayers. I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe God is working in your life about expanding your business, working in your life about moving on to another area of ministry. Maybe God's working in your life about missions or ministry here. I don't know if Pastor has enough Sunday school teachers. I'm sure he doesn't. But what could you do? How could God use you? And God's been working in your life about giving your life totally to Christ and giving your heart, believing and receiving Christ as your personal Savior, but yet you're holding off. You've heard the gospel message and you're making excuses, and now, once again, you hear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is it because of fear? But that fear will keep you out of heaven and will place you in a place where God says, the Bible says, is a place of torment, a place of terror, a place of desolation, a place of despisement. It's a place of, it's called hell, where the fire is not quenched for eternity. It's not me. The Word of God says that. Is that your destiny? And are you going to allow fear to keep you from going to a heaven and going to this place because you refuse to believe on the free gift that Jesus offers you? Fear. Fear keeps us from moving on, from knocking on somebody's door and inviting them to church. And God wants us to be involved in ministry, and yet I could never do that. I'm afraid. This year, turn your fears into triumph. Go forward and seeing God do some miracle works in your life as He has done in my life. God wants to do some great things in your life. What is keeping Him from doing so?